The story, chapter 22, excerpts from John, Matthew, and Luke. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, and because there was no guest room available for them, and there were shepherds living out of the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Okay, I will admit, reading today's scripture, the scripture for today, it feels a little odd. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know, but it feels different. Some would say that we're being countercultural today and be super excited that we like are pushing the norms, the status quo. That is not me. That is not how I go, right? But I will admit it also helps me very much to look out these windows and see snow. Yeah. There's just something about reading the birth narrative of Jesus so close to Easter, so close to springtime, with some seedlings already planted under grow lights, that makes this scripture feel different. I will admit the biggest thing for me when I read this scripture was how this scripture to me has always felt like a standalone scripture, one that we just hear on Christmas Eve. And Christmas Eve service is always different than our Sunday service, right? Usually in the dark of night with candles lit, right? And read in such a way that we hear and see and experience just that reading. The birth of Jesus occurs at the start of the New Testament. It's like a whole separate book from the Old Testament, right? There's like a division within the book where we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's the first thing after this big break, after this name change. It's like following a conclusion, we get a new beginning. There's even a new song for the New Testament, right? And the kids are working on it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. No, they sing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's got a whole new rhythm. There's just something different about how we have switched from last week's reading to this week's reading. This reading is found in the New Testament, a book that Christians utilize, not the same book that the Jewish people or of the covenant writings or of those laws of Moses that we've been hearing about. The New Testament has the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, the writings about the people that followed Jesus, the letters to the churches that came after Jesus. It's different. Or is it? As we open the Bible to the New Testament, we're actually joining a story that's already in progress. The nation of Israel that had reached its high point under King David 1,000 years earlier no longer existed. Then there was 587 BCE, and the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, and the people were put into exile, and the temple was destroyed. And then we learned last week that 50 years later, Cyrus of Persia allowed the Jews to return and to build a new temple. And we heard about how they built their new temple, and how that temple gets dedicated in 515 BCE, 515 years before the Common Era or before the birth of Christ. But now we're in that gap between 515 years before Jesus and 70 years after Jesus. This gap, this time that some call the time of the Second Temple, because the temple was rebuilt and didn't get torn down again until after Jesus, this time of the Second Temple, this is when this whole story of Jesus takes place, really from 0 to 33. The birth of the king. That's what the authors of the story call this chapter. But they knew the whole story, so they knew that Jesus was king of God's people, right? They knew what was contained in the Holy Scriptures, so they got to pick their name based off of that. But if you didn't have that, or if you were where we are today, not yet reading the next chapter, what would we call this chapter? If we think about it, we know that the people throughout our stories have needed a king. They desired leadership. We've learned that their behavior without leadership wasn't always great, and their behavior with leadership wasn't either necessarily. But we've heard them plea at times, and we've heard of the horrifying stories of death and destruction, and we've gone back and forth with these people of God being close to God and in relationship with God, and times when they were so far away from God that they wandered so much that they said, God, where are you? And God said, I've been here all along. Over the last weeks, we've heard about the agony of defeat, the hopelessness in wandering, the pleas for justice. And now, just now, when this temple finally got rebuilt, when this place has been made again for the people to be with God, to be with the Holy of Holies, we hear about this other story, a miraculous birth story, the story of Jesus. The seamless story of God's revelation to the human race continues with another unlikely character, this time a young Jewish woman committed to her faith who was engaged to be married. we hear about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we've also, many of us who've done church before, we've heard about the story of the donkey, right? Oh, yeah. He says, I carried Mary uphill and down, right? And we've heard the story of the innkeeper, right, who had no suitable place to offer them, and so he said no to them. And yet, in that story, we've also heard of the depths of love that came with it. He allowed them to stay where the animals dwell, which ends up being a place not only of warmth and privacy, but an opportunity for us to embody this humble and honest beginning of Jesus. This understanding that Jesus didn't grow up in a place of much, but in a place of little. And it offers us an opportunity to connect and parallel our own life with Jesus. We've heard about the dove who said he sang Jesus to sleep with his mate and I, right? Or the boastful sheep that says he shared his wool to make a blanket for Jesus, right? Beautiful songs of Christmas help us to remember and to tell the story of Jesus or retell it in the 12 days that follow. But what from this story aids you in understanding God's story, Jesus' story, or even your own story? What part of knowing that Jesus was born in a manger connects to you? I would like you to consider that this chapter is a pivotal chapter in our faith. It's pivotal in the way we understand and practice religion, more so than any chapter we've read so far. And yes, I remember that we read about how God created the world, and without that, we wouldn't even get here. I was here for that week. And yet, I think this chapter might be the most pivotal in our faith and understanding of what it is we do in worship. This chapter, called The Birth of the King, turns us from people who are made to have a relationship with the Creator, with God, to people who believe in God being of more than one being, to understanding God as more, as capable of being human, turning this majestic and mysterious concept of God, who appeared only in a tent, or only to one person at a time, or only on a mountain, to being a being. Relatable, actual, person of history that lived and walked and ate and drank and loved and healed and wept. Being born of the flesh, in the form of a human named Jesus, is the difference. A fundamental division that comes between faith groups, a name change at the least, an adherence to a very new way of understanding God at the most. Many faith groups believe in God, or a God. Many have stories of creation much like ours, or the same as ours. But Christians, Protestants and Catholics, evangelicals, mainline, Orthodox, they all have Jesus. And yet, we separate at the way we practice. At our praxis and our polity is where we divide. At our understanding of who can lead a church and who can't, who can follow and be part of it, who can be included in how we morally express ourselves. That's where we divide. We even differ about birth and creation and the life of Jesus and how that story works, but we all have a Jesus. And yet, we also very much align with these other groups, these faith groups, because we all have principles of morality and ethics for our daily lives and systematic ways to express our faith. And yet, I think that this chapter, this short chapter of familiar words that we've heard, many of us, many, many times, I think this chapter is what divides us. And again, God's timing. We're reading it on a weekend where division is so loudly in front of us. I have to admit, it feels good to sit in my chair and hear a familiar and strong voice read a familiar scripture. One that, if I close my eyes, I can almost smell the things that go with this scripture. I can hear the sounds of Christmas. It's the only time I think I've ever read that story, is at Christmas. Other times I skip through it and think, I already read that one this year, right? It is comforting to me to hear the words of the birth narrative, to think of the cozy time of Christmas, of coming home, of gathering, of sharing, of counting blessings. And yet I recognize today that not everyone has familiarities with the story like I do, that some hear that same story or hear it today or read it now with eyes of people who are living in fear, of uncertainty, as people who've never been offered a chance at the table or to share in the bread of life or the cup of love. They've never had that sensation of Jesus on their lips or in their heart. And it makes me wonder, what would this story say if you've never had the community around it? They say you can't unlearn something you've learned, and you can't unhear something you've heard, and you can't unfeel something you've felt. And for me, this story brings back all good things. But what about those who hear this story and are not having those feelings? I am keenly aware that not everyone will hear the birth narrative of Jesus and have positive feelings. Because whatever accompanies one's reading of Jesus being born in a manger, offered as a living form of God, raised by a young, loving mother and a father that had thought about leaving before his arrival, whatever accompanies one's reading will accompany it. The associations that people have made to this story is pivotal in their faith journey. So here's my hope for you today. My hope and my prayer is that when you hear this story, when you share the story of Jesus, when you consider your faith walk, your understanding of the divine, that you will remember that God desires to be in relationship with you, and that God is the one that offers you love, and that it is through God that we get to know life in this way, and that God will never leave you. I pray that you will know that, and that you will live that, and that with God's help it may be so. Amen.